Hello everyone, welcome to North and South Podcasts. This is Tim speaking. As you know, I like to do politics themes, and I'm very, very fortunate tonight to have Adrian Owens. Adrian is a councillor in West Lancs, which is not far from where I live. I actually live in Sefton, and he came along to a Hope Street meeting. As you know, Hope Street is the charity that I work with and do podcasts with, and Adrian came along to see our work, which we really appreciated. He is a councillor who likes to get stuck in the local community and support local charities and groups. And he agreed to come onto the podcast. He's been working today. He's very, very busy. And I really, really appreciate him taking the time to be with us. So, Adrian, how long have you been a councillor for?
23 years now, Tim. 1999, I started.
1999. I started teaching in 1999. And what ward do you represent in West Lancs?
The ward's called Derby Ward. I think it's named after Lord Derby, I guess. But it's the eastern side of Ormskirk and the village of Westhead, which is the small village between Ormskirk and Skelmersdale.
Good stuff. And there's three councillors for each ward. Is that correct?
There are three councillors in our ward, Tim. At the moment, some wards only have one councillor, some of the rural wards, and some wards only have two councillors in places like Burscow. But next May, every single councillor in West Lancashire has got to put themselves up before the electorate. We have all-out elections with new ward boundaries. So my ward will become Ormskirk East, which is a boring name. And they're all given pretty boring names with the changes.
Now, I know that the current government are looking to do boundary changes for constituencies of MPs. Is that part of that reform, or is this more controlled by the council?
It's a separate process. We certainly don't control it as the council. We did decide that we wanted to probably have slightly fewer councillors. Yeah. We're going to talk later about how people get involved with local government and being a councillor. But all parties struggle to get people to stand, and so it was felt that, you know, maybe we should have slightly fewer councillors. But then the Quango comes along, which looks at the boundaries every 15 years or so, and said it's time to look at West Lancashire, and then they start changing all the boundaries. So some of the rural areas that perhaps just had one councillor out in places like Colsall, out on the boundary with Southport, they're now going to be merged in with Scaresbrick and some of the other rural areas in a very big rural ward. So whoever's out there is going to wear out a lot of shoe leather next year.
I can imagine. Now, one of the things which you stress is that you're an independent councillor. People have said to me in the past about, oh, you should go into politics and stuff like that. And I don't think I could handle party discipline, because I very much like to say what I think, etc. So what does being an independent mean for you, and what are the benefits to you and the benefits for your ward?
What it means is that there isn't a party HQ, you know, beating a party line. The line that I take is very much driven by what my residents are saying to me in my patch, so I can really represent them fully and freely. How do you represent them? You know, you can't agree with all 100% of them, but you certainly take soundings, and you certainly do your best to try and, try and make sure that the decisions the council are making are decisions that are not going to badly affect those residents, and hopefully are going to improve services and their lives outside on their doorstep and the street in front of them.
That's good. And you are part of a group, though, called Our West Lancashire. And is this, I know you've got a website which you've looked at, and you've got a little bit of organisation, but is Our West Lancashire just people who are kind of a similar mind, but very much free to vote any way that they want? How does Our West Lancashire work?
Well, we always said we put residents first and foremost, but I guess the Labour Party say that, the Conservatives would say that. We're a group, a fairly loose group of community-minded people who want the best for our local areas. And it can be very lonely if you were just an independent on your own on the council. You haven't got anyone to bounce ideas off, don't get as many, you know, sort of committee seats, and it can be quite lonely. It's an umbrella, and we agree some core policies every year, 6 or 7, which we will all say we're going to stick with, but we will all have to have agreed that. And if anyone says, I don't like that policy, then it isn't a policy of ours. Yeah. So apart from 6 or 7 policies where we will all stick together, I wouldn't call it a whip because we've all agreed before, but we'll all stick together on that. There is no whip, and quite often we'll vote differently on different issues in the yeah. council.
And the whip is the idea that if you're in a party, you vote with that party line, and people hear a lot of that on the national news over the House of Commons, etc. And I know that in the House of Commons, the whips are probably the most powerful whips certainly in Europe, I think. And there can be a lot of intimidation behind the scenes. So it must feel good that you don't have that kind of person looking over your shoulder all the time, that you can genuinely reflect your constituents' beliefs. And does that tie in with your own kind of political beliefs?
It does. It ties in with my view of how leadership should work, really. I see it very much as a sort of a servant leader. It's not, you know, you will do this. I'm the know-it-all leader of this group. I'm not the leader of the R West Lancashire group. I'm the chairperson of the group. We don't have a leader as such. I chair the group. It is my view. And the whip can be... I don't think it's probably as onerous as you say at Westminster at local council levels, but I think in some of the big councils, you know, there've been people who've lost the whip in Liverpool, have lost the Labour whip, the people who lost the whip in West Lancashire many years ago, and there was a sort of 6 or 7 Labour councillors who just followed their conscience and followed what they thought was right for their voters in their areas. And because of that, they were thrown out of the party and lost their seats because of it.
Yeah, and I think there's been some Labour councillors going independent in the McGull area recently as well. And I think in certain areas where you've got a party that tends to dominate or has always dominated, this isn't always the case, but I think people lose that connection with the constituents when you just automatically assured that party is going to win in that area for historical reasons, etc. And I can understand that desire to say, well, you know, we want to represent our local people in whatever way that they want, rather than going with this party line. But it's a difficult balance to get, because obviously sometimes you need to agree on certain things and vote a certain way. But I think our West Lancashire's got a really good balance on that. The current West Lancashire Council, then, it's 22 Labour councillors, 20 Conservative, 7 from our West Lancashire, and then 3 in Labour and Co-op and 2 independent. It's obviously there's no overall control there. Yeah. And what's the council like at the moment? Do any of those parties work together? Is it very much about consensus and looking for things that people agree on? So what's the kind of situation in the council at the moment over certain issues?
Well, I mean, Labour in reality have probably got 25 seats, because obviously Labour and Co-op work with Labour. So there's 25 Labour and 20 Conservative, 7 of us and a couple of independents. So Labour have a system of council rather like government works, in that we have an executive, we have a cabinet that makes most of the key decisions. So just as in London we've got at the moment Mr. Johnson, not for much longer, with his cabinet, in West Lancashire we have a Labour cabinet. Unlike Westminster, they don't have a majority. So the full council is like Parliament, is like the House of Commons, and they have to bring their potential decisions, a lot of them, to council for ratification. Not all from there because of the way the constitution works. It is quite complicated, and it's not a system we have to use. We could use what was called a more traditional committee system, where we'd just be split on that sort of ratio you've said, and we'd have councillors from all the groups sat round the table trying to decide and reach a consensus, and then having a vote if need be. It's much more at the moment, Labour can push ahead, almost do what they want, but if they stick their neck out too far, they might get it chopped off by the Conservatives and OWLs and independents saying we don't like that. So yeah, there's has to be a little bit of feeling their way as they go. And I don't know whether it works so well. I would probably prefer a committee system, and that's something we're looking at in the council at the moment. That's where we are at the moment.
Yeah, but it looks to me like West Lancashire kind of holds the balance of power, and if Labour want to do anything, they do have to reach out and try and bring.
They do, and I think old habits die yeah. hard. I think some in the Labour group are quite good at reaching out and will be quite happy to reach out more. I think in our local Labour group we have a few people who are very tribal, shall we say, who really just say, no, we're going to put forward 100% red Labour policies, and you can vote it down if you don't like it. So there's a tension there, but that's probably true in any group of people. The budget this last year was more consensual. We were able to get things that we wanted to see into the budget. The Conservatives got some things they wanted to see into the budget. Labour got, you know, key things that they wanted in the budget as well. So the budget process last year worked better, and hopefully this year, again, you know, we'll see that, you know, the three main groups working together.
That's good. So just very briefly, the committee system would involve committees that are proportional to the different parties on the overall yes. council. That's how that would work, isn't it? Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And you think that would lead to better decisions, or on certain issues that would tend to work better?
Yeah, it would get more points of view expressed at an earlier stage in a decision rather than it being discussed between officers and the Labour cabinet, and everyone thinking this is an absolutely fantastic idea, and then it comes all the way virtually to being rubber stamped, and someone says, hang on, you've not thought about that, or really, you know, we're absolutely dead set against that. So I just think it would be better to involve different points of view earlier on the basis that, you know, two heads are usually better than one. You know, Labour have got more councillors than anyone else. If they make a good case, you know, what they're saying will usually go through.
Right. Now, a lot of people know the councils say do the bins, etc. And sometimes you hear about things on the news, like there's a bit of a problem with stuff. But what do councils have control over? Council tax, which people pays for council services and things that go on in that particular area. So when people say to you, like, oh, what do councillors do? What do they have control over? What are the key elements that you would say to people who asked you that question?
I'm laughing a bit because you mentioned bins. That's the very first thing I've got on my list. Because, you know, if there's a service that causes, you know, people to rant about the council, it's if their bins aren't picked up and emptied. Yeah. So, you know, it really, you know, basic, mundane things like that, but very, very important if they go wrong. The slight problem you've got in West Lancashire, Tim, is we have two councils doing things in what's called a two-tier area. And in my view, we should get rid of it, and we should be much more like Sefton, where you live, or one of the metropolitan, you know, Liverpool or St. Helens, where one council is accountable for everything, because then the buck stops with them.
Yeah.
And residents know as well, they go to the council. The problem in Lancashire is that they've got Lancashire County Council and they've got West Lancashire Borough Council. So I'm a borough councillor, so we look after services such as the bins, mentioned street cleaning, grass cutting, local parks, planning, very important service that the Borough Council does that is important when you have a planning application or when you have someone wants to build something next to you, then you get interested in it. A lot of the time it just happens, but an important service. Housing is a Borough Council service, not just private housing, but in West Lancashire, we have nearly 6,000 council houses still on our books. And so that is a very big service. It's bigger as a service than all the other services put together in the Borough Council, the council housing team. But then you've got all the other services that are at the County Council, which are the ones that when people ring me up as a councillor, say, you're a councillor, you can deal with this. What about the pothole in my road? And I could say to them, well, Mrs. Smith, I'm sorry, that's nothing to do with me. Please contact your county councillor. But I want Mrs. Smith to vote for me, so I need to be nice to her. And just fobbing her off and pointing her in the direction of the county councillor doesn't really cut the mustard. So usually what I've done, and I've, after 23 years experience, you take the issue on and you say, right, okay, the potholes, where are they? Have you got any photographs? How deep are they? And we'll get them reported. Most of the issues I get as a borough councillor are county council issues. So a lot of them relate to the roads, potholes, speeding traffic, line markings, cat's eyes, overgrown vegetation so that you can't walk down the pavement and the footpath, all those type of things are the county council. And so I have to refer things to them. The county council obviously also deals with very, very important issues that cost a lot of money that, again, unless you're involved in the service, you don't really get to really think where your council tax is going to. But all of social services, children's services, adult social services are all with the county council in Lancashire. So when people pay their council tax to Ormskirk, as they do in my area, you know, they're paying £1,500 a year, £2,000 a year, maybe £3,000 if they live in a big house. Most of that money goes to the county council, about 80% of it. We collect it and then we just have to pass it on to the county council and the police and the fire. We keep about 12% of people's council tax, but we tend to get lots of the phone calls saying, oh, where's my money gone? And you're not doing this and you're not doing that.
It's interesting that, because my sister used to work for an MP in Scotland and they literally had issues where you need to speak to the member of the Scottish Parliament or you need to speak to the member of the Westminster Parliament, because we don't, you know, it was literally like, no, you need to speak to them. Plus then you've got the local councils. And then in the past, we also had the European, the members of the European Parliament as well, which is quite confusing. But I think the way you're dealing with it, like, okay, give us the issue, we'll do what we can and then pass it on. It just, you know, as you say, people feel that their local councillor is responding to them. And I think that's a big part of it as well, isn't it? I'm hopefully going to speak to a police and crime commissioner, because that's being introduced recently as another level over the policing issue, although, as you said, it's technically a county issue. Just going back to the housing issue, I know that there's been a bit of a disagreement over housing policy in West Lancashire, but what's the current situation with the housing at the moment? Because, as you say, it's a big expense, isn't it? And it's very, very important. The cost of housing is very high for people. So what's the issue in West Lancashire with housing at the minute?
I think some of our concerns and what the controversy has been over the council's housing company that was set up, Tord Valley Housing. It was originally set up really to make money by building private houses, market houses, and to act as a developer, but with all the profits or surpluses being retained by the council. It's not really been able to find the land that it needed for that. I think because the last local plan idea, which was thrown out, so it's tended to look now at building council houses, which I'm very much in favour of. You know, I've no problem with building council houses. You know, we need to provide more affordable housing. The problem is it's not really been set up for that. It's got a very highly paid chief executive and high overheads. And it's been charging, in my view, probably over the odds for providing this service for the council. So there's been some controversy over that. Yes, I mean we need more houses. The other thing I would say that we have been frustrated in our group about has been the slow progress in terms of more having more energy efficient council housing in our stock. There is some government money available and was made available, and we didn't manage to bid for that the last round, but was pleased when we put a council motion forward last month saying we must get our ducks in a line and we must bid for the next round of government funding that Labour and Conservative both agreed. So that's, we will be putting in a bid, an ambitious bid, probably for millions of pounds to improve the energy efficiency of some of our council housing. Unfortunately, with the timing, I don't think that's going to happen for this winter. And with what's on the news at the moment, we've got some very badly insulated houses built in the 70s in the new town in Skelmersdale. You know, the people who live in those houses have got low incomes, and yet, you know, they turn the heating on and it goes straight out through the walls and through the roof.
Yeah. No, that's a big issue at the moment, isn't it? For a number of, you know, locally, nationally and internationally, that kind of energy efficiency issue. And it's good to see that certainly plans are in place, but as you say, maybe not for this winter. I was going to ask you about like the good parts of being a councillor and the tougher parts. And maybe we could merge that question together and look at it through whether you think there should be more devolution to councils from constituency MPs and from the national government. I know it's often said we've got a very centralised government. What are your views on councils getting more power? And what would you say the good and the frustrating parts of being a councillor, if you like?
I think councils do a great job, actually. I think they're one of the more efficient parts of government. You know, when you see what goes wrong with governments at the moment, you know, passports, I'm hearing getting a DBS certificate at the moment, huge weight, causing problems with people, you know, wanting to get back into teaching in September, can't get the DBS. Nothing seems to work sometimes at national government level. And anytime the government wants something done, they'll go to local government to do it. That's what they did during the pandemic. They came to us, they said, yeah, open these hubs, provide, you know, food for people who are housebound, people who are vulnerable during the pandemic, you know, can't go to the supermarket, get food to them. Set all that up in a matter of, you know, a couple of weeks. I was always told we still have a benefits section and we provide housing benefit, council tax benefit. That was given to us 30, 40 years ago as a temporary measure, I was always told by Borough Treasurer. It's still with us 30, 40 years later because we did such a good job on the civil service, though. Can't do a better job. So I think councils do a really, really good job. Huge fan of them. So yeah. I can't remember.
No, it was whether you think councils should be given more power and more responsibility, and what are the good parts of being a councillor and the frustrating parts, it kind of tied together. Because I know councils were ultimately given like responsibility for like looking after Ukrainian immigrants as well. The government said, oh yeah, we'll give that to councils. But it does seem to be a big thing that councils get things done on the ground in their locality, don't they?
Yeah, we do, and I think government recognises that, and we also get the short straw with things like that as well, which is if a host family and the Ukrainian, if that relationship breaks down or whatever, then we have to house the Ukrainian family, you know, in an emergency straight away. So we're always the backstop as well for central governments, I think, when they give us things. And there was always a view that the money never followed. You know, they'd give us something new to do, but they'd always change us a bit on the funding, so much so now brought something in that they call a new burdens fund, which is if they give us something new to do, they commit to giving us the money to do it. But I don't know anyone who thinks that probably they give us enough money.
There's been cuts of up to 50%, 60% in some councils since 2010 as well. So in terms of efficiency on the ground, councils are very much the ones having to do it on the front line. And again, this often gets lost in that national narrative, doesn't it? Because people are focusing on these big issues, the national issues, and these kinds of real service delivery on the front lines often forgotten about. And I think that must be quite frustrating for you, that. But obviously, you're a very committed councillor. You want to represent your constituents. You're frustrated over certain things. What's the average day like for you in terms of the good things and the bad things?
The bad things are usually when you get the blame for something that is just not your fault and not something you can do anything about. And that's because, particularly as a borough councillor, you're the most local sort of government representative that someone knows. They're probably not likely to see their MP. They might see them on TV or in a press release, but you know, they probably won't meet them. Might not meet a county councillor. When I go and knock on their door, they moan that they never see me, but it takes, you know, it might take me the full 4 years to get round all the doors. But yeah, so it's when you get blamed for something that really you couldn't do anything about. But the stuff is just the casework, just sorting out people's issues, whether it's with neighbours, whether it's with, you know, broken benches, steps down onto the footpath. I've just been dealing with today in the middle of work, you know, I finally found out who now owns or who's now responsible for historic railway bridges. Because of course, before, in the time of nationalisation, you just went to British Rail. It was all British Rail. And you'd ring them up, say this bridge has lost its coping stones. Well, it took me about 3-4 weeks to find out who now is responsible for, believe it or not, it's Highways England who are responsible for historic railway bridges now. And I managed to speak to the right guy today, so I might get a repair to the coping stones on this bridge. In one way, that's a frustration, but when you actually get somebody, it's quite satisfying because you do get to the bottom of it and hopefully get a result there with that one. So the case works, the satisfying thing, I think, really.
Helping people. Now, I know councillors get paid. There's different levels, isn't it? If you're in cabinet or you've got a particular senior position as a councillor, you can be paid more. But if you're just like a local councillor without any other responsibility, what are the kind of pay scales for councillors?
In a borough council in Lancashire, we're paid about £4,800 a year, so about £400 a month. Some might be between £3,000 to £5,000 a year. If you're a county councillor, then it's more, it's £10,000-£11,000 a year. Mm. I think probably in Sefton and some of the other unitary councils, that might be more like the level again there. But at the borough level, £4,800 a year. So it's not seen as, theory is it's not seen, it's certainly not a full-time job. No one's going to live on that. It's not really meant to be a part-time job. It's seen as public service. But the idea is you mustn't be out of pocket from it. It must cover your, all your expenses. You know, we're given laptops, tablets, things like that. There's supposed to be a public service element. So we do have a panel, an independent panel that sort of sets our allowance and they will look at the work commitment that goes in. But the work commitment depends on the person. It really does. Yeah. You know, it can be a diligent, efficient councillor could spend 20 hours a week doing council work. Some councillors might spend 2 hours It depends what you put into it, and no one's clocking you. There's no timesheet. It's down to the individual.
Do you know within the council, if you are in a cabinet post or a more senior position, you are remunerated differently for that, aren't you? If you have additional responsibilities,
you are. The allowance is generally double, so you'd be 9,600, and then if you're the leader, it's treble, I think. It's on about 14, and don't quote me, probably got that, but because there's an extra time commitment there, you know, and they are having to put their names to decisions, which it's easy to criticize, but you know, it's not so easy to have to make the decision. So they are decision makers. So I don't deal with that at all.
It's certainly not a job people do to, you know,
to get rich,
to make a lot of money. No. And no. I think that's one of the big things with local councils. People don't always understand that. And I know from when I used to do certain trade union work for the one of the teachers' unions that, you know, sometimes you have people who were complete volunteers doing things and doing casework, etc. But as you say, there is a public service dimension to it. And, you know, that must be very rewarding in its own right. In terms of contacting councillors, I'll put a link in the podcast notes, if that's okay with you, just about, you can go online and say, who is my local councillor? And a website will direct you to who it is, etc. So you've got someone who you can contact. So I contacted an MP in Wigan who came into my school to do a little chat about what it's like being a councillor, and I found that quite easy. But how do people become councillors, and how can, if you like, Jim and Josephine Public get more involved in council work, as it were?
I think basically think about your you know, if you're a strong supporter of a political party, if you're a strong Labour supporter or a strong Conservative or a Lib Dem or whatever, contact your local, you know, political party, Google them. You'll find their contact details and get in touch. You know, they'll make you very welcome. If you're not politically affiliated, if you don't think there's a Labour way to empty a bin or a Conservative way to empty a bin, you just want your bin emptied efficiently, contact our West Lancashire. You know, wherever you contact, you'll be given a warm welcome, because there probably are not enough people who want to become councillors. And it's not about having a degree or, you know, being smart and super intelligent. It's about being a representative for your area. You know, you walk out your front door, you see dog dirt on the pavement, or the streets are not swept, or there's litter everywhere, or there's antisocial behaviour. You're experiencing the same thing as the people you're going to want to vote for you. So if you've got a passion for your community, then get in touch with your local political party or our West Lancashire, or stand as an independent and get yourself elected.
Do you know, I live next door to a councillor in Bootle who I'm going to speak to at some point in the near future. And I've been along to a few council meetings. They used to do those, a local area meeting.
Yes.
I went to a few of them. And, you know, I've met with my local councillor, and, you know, I've been to Labour Party meetings locally, etc. So I know a little bit about it. But in terms of getting involved, our council is always looking for people who can work with them to help with casework and with leafleting and things like that. People can get involved with the local council, councillor, even if they're not party affiliated, and help out just by contacting them.
Absolutely, particularly when you mention things like leafleters. Leafleters are like gold dust. I look, all my leafleters get, I'm probably stingy, but they all at least get a Christmas card from me. They're probably expecting a bottle of whiskey, but always treat your leaflets as well if you're a councillor, and you will be well treated and welcome with open arms if you're if you can plod the streets and but yeah, councillors will go door knocking. So if you like talking with people, you know, it's called canvassing. It sounds scary. You know, it's knocking on someone's door and asking them, you know, what are their concerns about local services or the local area? And people are really welcoming, whether they support you and your party or not. You know, generally people will chat away and give you their views.
Yeah, I've done leafleting when I was younger, and I've done some canvassing with my sister in Scotland, and it is very rewarding, that kind of eye-to-eye contact. And you get a feel for things, as you said, which you can then take back to the office and say, this is something that kept coming up. I think it's good contact with people as well, isn't it? And ultimately, that's what it's all about, that kind of contact with local people. Is there anything else that you want to mention that we haven't covered?
I think we've done it reasonably well. I'm sure it'll need quite a bit of editing, Tim, but...
from my end, not from your end, you've been brilliant. But thank you very much for your time. That was so cogent and to the point. Loads of issues covered.
Many thanks to Adrian for his input and his time there on local councilling and local government. Get involved, folks, and let's be aware of these issues, the pressures that councils are under, and let's be involved in decision making and making our communities better places. So many thanks to Adrian for that. Don't forget, if you can share, like, subscribe on YouTube, Spotify, if you want to contribute financially on coffee.com, details are in the notes. That's coffee, K-O-F-I. It would be great to get your support in that way, because it makes my life a lot easier in terms of buying equipment, etc., and keeping this going. I do want this to be free, but the more contributions I get, the more sustainable it is long term. So if you can afford the price of a cup of coffee once a month, it makes a huge, huge difference. I also am aware that some of the technology is a bit basic that I use, although I am looking to invest in more. I've had some good feedback recently from a sound engineer who's given me some good advice. I would like people to help me with that if you are interested out there. Also, I've had some good feedback as well from other people, positive, and also things to work on. So I do take on board all of those things. One thing that someone mentioned is about the clarity of my vision, and I just want to say, in terms of vision, I'm very much about giving people a voice, particularly people getting a voice on local issues and their lived experiences in terms of community and positive individual and social change. So creativity, history, politics, well-being, financial survival, they're my five key themes that I tend to focus on. I do appreciate some people might like some of those more than others. And so people might go, well, I don't really want to listen to this, or I don't want to really listen to that. And maybe I could have a clearer vision. But for me, those things matter a lot to me, and I feel like I need to cover those kind of things as much as possible. So I'm very much open to constructive criticism, and I do appreciate the feedback I've had from people of recent. Don't forget to follow on Twitter, as I say, share, subscribe, etc., etc. Keep the faith, hang in there. And again, thanks to Adrian for coming on. And politics, folks, if we're not interested in it, other people start doing it on our behalf. Some of them can do the job very ably. Others, like a certain person with blonde hair and someone who's going to be his replacement very soon. Sad times. So let's get involved, folks, and let's make this world a better place. Cheers.